I've been in LIC board, where there are bureaucrats who sit. There are, of course, the industry veterans who sit about this. And we independent director from corporate who has come who sit there. And there are some bureaucrats who sit there. There are some political affiliated or politicians who sit there. Yeah. And some minority, even employee, etc. will sit there. I tell you, the kind of learning I've had is like no other board, and the kind of diversity and the views that get set in. So I think this is a great example how diversity actually helps.
That was Mr. V.S. Parthasarathy, a coach, a mentor, and an entrepreneur with over 4 decades of experience across finance and logistics sectors. He sits on a number of boards and also works for women empowerment, employment, entrepreneurship, and education through Seva Bharat.
LeaderCast is a podcast series by ISB Executive Education. This podcast features prominent business executives who are redefining functions and industries and what it means to lead in an era of accelerated change.
A very warm welcome, Mr. Parthasarathy. Thank you so much for taking out time today. Let's head right to the conversation. Across your varied professional career, across several roles, right, from CEO, CFO, CIO, and so on, right, over the past 35 years, and from companies such as Xerox to Mahindra. We have listeners who are across age groups and across experiences. What are the 3 key learnings from your career that you've picked over this course of time, if you'd like to share?
Thank you, and I'm delighted to be talking to you and in this podcast. I find ISB and whatever they're doing very interesting. So it's good that it's giving me a chance to participate. Coming to your question, the first learning I had after 35 years is life is all about thrilling, pulling and feeling. Okay, so if you take that, when you meet people, okay, and I'm not being gender sensitive, what I would say is that I'm kind of saying people and their feelings matter most. So when you work in organization, that's what I received. When I listen to people, when I've understood that feeling, we have vibed as a team together. And somebody called it inclusive leadership. I call it inclusive behavior. Okay, so that's one thing that I learned. The second thing is, if you ask, I've had great innings and I have great milestones, okay? Even if I say so, okay? And all those milestones has been achieved by my team. I've come and taken a bow in front of external world. But if I really were to put a hand on my heart, it's the team which does. So I recognize the importance of team. And they have recognized another thing within it. That team by itself, not all of them were a high flying. Some of them were ordinary, career prior to this. But when they came to me, I just say, I trust you. And we should achieve something dramatic in our small time together. And they've all responded like nobody. And one of them remarked that you don't know how much we trust you. Okay. So, and the third one is about a management lesson. They all say 50% is strategy, 50% is execution. I think they've got it wrong. It is strategy plus execution. They are important. But what is more important is tenacity. So it is strategy plus execution plus tenacity. We can wish away by saying tenacity is part of execution. I don't agree. It's a separate piece. It's your staying power. It's your saying, yeah, I know I got it right. I got to give it time. It's like giving time for a plan to grow. Organization are like plans. So these are the 3 lessons.
Very, very wonderful learnings. And, if I just pick on the 4 things that you said, over the last minute or so, which is, trust, team, listening and tenacity are all related to people. And then, at the center of all the work that we do, I think people are at the center of it. And, we need to, kind of work with the team together. So thank you so much. And I'm sure, this is going to be very, very valuable for all our learners. In your role as, as an independent director across multiple companies and being on their boards, we kind of wanted to understand, how does it benefit, organizations when they have a board that prioritizes foresight over hindsight when making strategic decisions?
First of all, I disagree with this notion that any board acts with hindsight and not foresight. Okay? Each board will like to believe that it acts on foresight. Yeah, majority of the time. Okay? However, there may be partial truth that some of them may end out more working on hindsight than foresight. I'll tell you how. So, because we are focused on financial results and quarterly results take most of the time. So we're basing on past data. And then when we talk about our future course of action, they get designated. We achieved so much last quarter. Why can't we achieve more? We didn't achieve. Why don't we make up? So those kind of hindsight related thoughts come in. But if you ask any board, what are they missing? They will say, we are missing about people development. We are missing about things like strategy. Yeah, we are missing listening to the challenges that a CEO faces. And those are all foresight questions. So they want to be in the foresight quadrant. They are forced by SEBI, quarterly results, those kind of thing, issues. They are forced into hindsight sometime. But foresight is what they want to be and they should be.
Very, very, very well put. You know, I think, you know, the three elements that you mentioned of foresight, make a lot of sense. And just kind of, you know, taking it forward, how can a board's ability to anticipate challenges proactively contribute to the resilience of the business? Can you, provide us with a real world example where a forward thinking approach at a board level led to significant business success?
So first and foremost is, when a board sets an agenda for the year, for the years, for strategy, for this, they become foresight, right? Because they're talking about the future. You may base yourself based on what the past has provided, but you are still predicting the future and how challenges. So you automatically start to become proactive. Second is, spend time on what compliance and various financial things are required. They are important in a board. But set time aside for three big topics. First topic is people, second topic is ESG, and third topic is what are the challenges facing the CEO. These three topics would force you to look forward rather than look back. Yeah. Okay. So this is the topic. Now about examples. I'll give you an example. I'll give you many examples, but couple of them, because one example is. So about, I'll talk this about my own board where I was not a board member. Okay, this went to board. We were trying to think that, EV could have a future. Okay, though we looked, I was a head of M&A, so I was tasked with going around the world and coming back and saying, here is one company in India, which was called Reva at that point of time, which later became Mahindra Electric. And we took it back to the board. And the board asked a question, when will this be profitable? And I said, don't know. Yeah. And they said, fine, go ahead, buy it. And I was myself surprised. And I asked them why. And they said, because it's real options. The chairman of the board summed it up, Partha, this is real option. And they believe they should back the management's bet on this. Okay. So it didn't make loss profit for many years after that. Yeah. My reply was vindicated. Yeah. But their conviction was vindicated when they got a huge recent newspapers, if you read, absolutely, you will see the valuation of the EV. So it was vindicated. Had we not done that real option, today we will not have such a big value creation. Absolutely. Yeah. The second and quick example is auto components. We were not in auto components except for forging, mm-hmm, a little forging, small forging plant. Steel plant. Huh? That's called Musco. So we decided, let's go to auto components because it's such a big, vast automobile requires auto components, so that's a sector to go. And we went into that sector. It was not easy because we had no competency in that and we are putting a pearl of strings. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the very thought, agreement on that thought and backing of that thought shows proactiveness from the board.
Absolutely. And such valuable, again, insights and examples that you've shared, bringing back to your, thought about, how does a board anticipate, challenges or opportunities, right? Here in this case, EV was an opportunity. And where you said, again, people, ESG and challenges which are facing the CEO. I think, very succinctly put, thank you so much. Putting the conversation on a slightly different note to the present today and slightly on the technology side, we've heard about board volatility very recently with Sam Altman and OpenAI. As a part of multiple boards, what are your thoughts about that incident?
Yeah, one or two things, because you never know what exactly happened. Yeah. It is not easy for you to comment from outside. Yeah, But two or three lessons can be drawn from this, that, you know, you had cannot be very hasty in taking decisions, even as a board. And you have to look at all your stakeholders and how they feel. Yeah, it is an important part of thing. The second is how important is trust also is very clearly, you know, brought out in this episode. There was lack of trust, and that's why this back and forth very clearly happened. And even one of the owners had to get involved. Yeah, in his own way. These are all showing the trust and lack of it be playing out. Okay. So not great example of good board and good governance and good stakeholder management from an outside. But we didn't know what happened in that room. And sometimes it is important to know the nuances in order to prove. But on a broader level, my experiences always says that trust is an important element. You have to back management and still challenge it. And that's the dichotomy, or that's the opportunity for a board that exists. Challenge him, but back him, because you cannot do the role of management.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you've said it, you know, very succinctly again, challenge, but, you know, also back the management that's running the organization. You know, one last question on, you know, how important is for a board to have diversity, not just in terms of demographics, but also in terms of industry agnostic experience?
Yeah, this is a very interesting question, right? In a boardroom, what do? We are not experts on the company or even the what they do specifically. We are just maybe had some experience, but mostly it comes with theory and experience. So you have different experience. So for example, how do you select a board? Hey, IT is an important thing and cybersecurity important. Can we get somebody who has knowledge on this so that they can challenge on this area? Hey, marketing is very important. Let's get a marketing person. Oh, by the way, audit committee and this needs a good guy. So can we get a good CFO like or who has that kind of experience? So nowhere they are saying CFO from this industry, marketing for this industry. Yeah. So industry agnostic, and there needs to be some industry knowledge as well in the boardroom. Absolutely. But first question is MD and hopefully some promoter led or, you know, investor led person who already knows about the company a little, industry a little. So some industry experience, yes, but most of it can be industry agnostic, because then you bring new industry experience onto the board. Yeah, otherwise you will violently agree. Yeah, and no good has ever come by violently agreeing with this. Then we can as well have one person running it. Yeah, we had better boards when they disagree on issues, only to come to a consensus based on better understanding of the subject.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, what you're kind of bringing out is that, you know, the more the perspectives and the more diverse in its nature, you know, brings more innovative thinking and solutions in terms of solving business priorities or challenges or even looking at opportunities. I think all of these, you know, diverse perspectives actually contribute towards making it successful.
Just give you an example. I've been in an LIC board where there are bureaucrats who sit. There are, you know, of course, the industry veterans who sit about this. And we independent director from corporate who has come who sit there. And there are some bureaucrats who sit there. So there are some political affiliated or politicians who sit there. Yeah, some minority, even employee, etc. will sit there. I tell you, the kind of learning I've had is like no other board. And the kind of diversity and the views that get set in. Yeah. And I often go to the management point of view. Are we too much digressing? Yeah. But, and they all smilingly tell us, no, sir, we love it. Yeah, so I think this is a great example how diversity actually helps.
And again, it's a fascinating example of how a large public sector company such as LIC has a board which comprises of people like you and, you know, the illuminaries that you just recently mentioned. I think it's fabulous, you know, and this is the kind of learnings that, you know, we all can take down. And LIC at that scale, right? I mean, obviously, there are humongous amount of learnings from what it does in the market today. Thank you so much, you know, Mr. Parthasarathy. It was, you know, a really engaging and, you know, insightful discussion for our learners. We look forward to having you in future, you know, series podcasts, as well as, you know, interacting with ISB in different nature and, you know, roles. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. All will be back.
Thank you.